Amen. Who is like the Lord?
Nobody.
Yeah, if you didn't get that, you weren't listening. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming out today. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember, mask on the move. We want to certainly be praying for those affected by COVID. And no matter whether you support our president or not, you should at least pray for him, pray for his wife as they are in recovery mode now. And remember, when we're moving, if you have a mask, wear it. If you don't, we'll give you one. And when you're seated, rip them off if you want to. It's all good. Don't rip anything else off. Just your mask, okay? We're glad you're here. If you're watching, thanks for tuning in. We've had a few Facebook hiccups this morning, they tell me. But I am glad the gospel doesn't depend on Mark Zuckerberg. So find other ways to connect with us. If you know people that are frustrated trying to sign on, get them through Apple TV, Roku, our app, our website, YouTube, YouTube Live. However you can get us podcasting, etc. Listen, we're not going to let the devil win. Anytime there's a tech glitch, it just reminds us that Jesus is in control and the gospel is going to go forth anyway, all right? So thank you for tuning in, though. We really do appreciate you. All season long, we're talking about standing strong. It's our theme for the book of 1 Peter, where you can begin to turn or swipe if you have your Bible in hand or on your phone. 1 Peter, standing strong. We're talking about real life, real hurt, and real hope. I like to pick a verse when I'm going through a book like this. Every chapter, I like to find sort of a key verse, a key idea, and I want us to say it together so that hopefully we can begin memorizing it. And I absolutely love 1 Peter 2:9. It's just a very special verse. Maybe you came in here today, maybe you're watching and you're down a little bit. Maybe there's a little self-image issue going on. Maybe there's something happening in your life. When you listen to what God says about us, this is for Christian folks, those that know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, this can be your description today if you'll trust him. But when we think about what God thinks about us, it makes all the difference. So would you guys join me? It'll be on your screens. Just say this verse with me. Ready? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, now that's not a statement about America, that we're a holy nation. No, that's the people of God. We have a new nationality that's even greater than being American. It is Christian. And so with this new name, with this new family, we've talked about having a living hope. We've looked at our imperishable inheritance. I told you, you got to choose hope. That was our third message in the series. And then we talked about God's perfect plan, and that got us all the way through chapter number one. But in chapter number two, we're going to talk about this subject to start today. From refugee to royalty. From refugee to royalty. There's a lot of question marks about refugees. And you know, the reality is America's just made up of a bunch of refugees, all right? We're from somewhere. We've come in. Unless you are Native American, you have come from somewhere. But let's talk about how we are to act as the world casts its doubt on us and as the world begins to kind of try to push Christians away and off to the side. You know, the followers of Christ in Peter's day were feeling that way. They were getting it from both sides. They were getting it from the Romans, and it was about to get worse under Nero, Neronian persecution. They were getting it from the Jews who wouldn't convert to Christ, and there was pressure building, and persecution was mounting. And they said, you Christians, you are worthless. The best you can do is we can put oil on you and light you on fire so that you can light our gardens at night. That's what Nero thought. But through Peter, God was reminding the people, yes, you're still refugees. You're still in a land where you don't ultimately belong. Heaven's your true home. But until you get to the promised land, I want you to remember, I am moving you from refugee to royalty, because if you know Christ, you're a child of the King. You're a prince or a princess in Jesus Christ. How many of you guys remember the story of Aladdin? You've seen that film, or you know the story, the Disney story? All right. So you remember Aladdin was a street rat, right? But out in the market, he caught the eye of Princess Jasmine. At first, he didn't know exactly who she was and what was going on, and she certainly didn't know anything about him, but they clicked, they connected. And then later in the story, as Aladdin finds the genie, what does he want the genie to turn him into? A prince. Make me a prince. Now, he really couldn't make him a prince, but what he could do was change his exterior. He even changed his little monkey, what was it, Abu? I think it was Abu. He changed him into an elephant. You remember that? Prince Ali. Ali Ababwa. He had this fancy name and these fancy digs. But you know what? Jasmine was not impressed because she didn't fall in love with the exterior. She fell in love with the heart of the street rat. She fell in love with the character of the man she met in the marketplace. And friends, we can put all these things on the exterior and try to impress people and puff up like peacocks and think we're looking good, but we will not impress our Father. He looks at the heart. He wants to know how we are on the inside. What is our character? And when I'm talking about being royalty in the eyes of God, that's not the exterior stuff. That is a royal heart that God gives you when you're part of His family. That in mind, stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'll pick up 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Anytime you come to a therefore, right, you say, okay, what does this mean? It's connected to the previous material. When this was written, it had no chapter numbers, no verse numbers, so this was just one continuous letter. And Peter's just been talking about the enduring Word of God. He said, your life, this world, it's like grass. It comes up, it goes away. It's like the flower that fades. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which you heard preached to you, the word of the gospel. And because of that, therefore, Christians, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if indeed or because you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. And He's going to give us some from Isaiah, some from the Psalms. He's going to go back to the Old Testament. He's going to remind us some key verses. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and all who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. That's a word of the Messiah, Christ. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you, children of God, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special. If you're holding a King James, it says, peculiar people. I like that rendering. You're a peculiar bunch. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an incredible passage of Scripture, just full of truth and encouragement. It is an incredibly important reminder today that when we are children of God, we are called to believe it. We are called to live like it. We are called to go from the darkness into your marvelous light because we have tasted, we have experienced, we have known and continue to know that you are good. So speak now. We are gathered. We are listening. We are ready to receive a word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. How does being a part of God's family impact the way we live in this world? A world that, let's be honest, is pretty hostile to the Lord and His people in these days. What difference does it make? If you have grace notes either in hand or on your app, jot these down with me. If you have experienced God's grace, then you desire to live according to God's word. If you've tasted and seen that God is good, if you have the grace of God in your life, if you are born again, a child of God, then you know that the word of God is that to be heeded, obeyed, applied, and shared. That's the living word, Jesus. It's the written word, the Bible. Therefore, because of that enduring word, look at what we're to set aside. Five things. Look, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Let's break it apart real quick. We are to put them away, cast them away. The Greek is a very forceful phrase, to toss as far away as you can get, malice, an attitude similar to hatred, a desire to inflict pain or harm or injury on another. It includes holding grudges. So if you're out there today and you're holding grudges, the Bible says you got to let that go. You got to cast that away. It's like Hebrews 12:1, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that's set before you. If you've ever tried to run a race and you've got weights on, you know you're not giving it your best. You are burdened. You are weighted down. Get rid of your malice. Get rid of your deceit. Deliberate dishonesty. To speak or act with ulterior motive. Don't be a deceiver. You know, the Bible says Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Don't be a deceiver. Another word, hypocrisy. Get rid of the hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means acting out a part, being a play actor, concealing your own true motive. Don't be an actor. Be the real deal. Envy. Envy's got to be cast aside. What is envy? Most often a desire to have that which belongs to someone else. It's resentful discontent. You know, envy is this concept of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. Somebody else is doing good and you don't like it, and the green monster comes and eats you up. Envy often expresses itself through the last phrase, evil speaking or slander. To literally speak down about someone verbally, to intentionally try to assault their character and harm their reputation. The Bible says as Christians, we throw all these things away, and as newborn babes. See, Peter's already talked about being reborn, being born again. Jesus talks about that. You must be born again. Not through your mama's womb, but born by the Spirit of God. A rebirth. And for those who are reborn, birth must be followed by nurture. Think about it. Just like a little baby desires or craves milk. Now, milk is food that's been processed by another. Food that's processed by mama. Maybe it's milk processed by a cow or a goat in some cultures, but it's already been processed. We can't live off of milk forever, but because we're born again, we're babies in Christ, when we come to Him by faith, we've got to desire the Word of God as milk. What is He trying to say to us? He's saying this, guys. Christianity is not only to be believed, it must also be lived. He's saying it should affect how you act. What you believe with the Word of God impacts how you act so that you can grow, so that you're no longer going to act like babies, but you're going to grow up because you can't live off this milk forever, but it needs to be pure, spiritual milk, not mixed with anything else. And I want you to remember this, church, belief determines behavior. It's your belief that determines how you act. If you reverse that, that's false religion. A lot of religions in the world will tell you if you'll do this, 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 and this, then you will probably be acceptable to God or the gods. Christianity says, no, 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 no. It starts in your heart and your mind. You receive the Lord Jesus. You are born again, and then Jesus changes your behavior. When you turn it around, that's works-based salvation, and that's not biblical. But just as a hungry baby reaches out for a bottle, a believer is to desire, or the word in Greek is to crave the Word of God. I mean, you remember when your baby was hungry? Or you G parents, you remember when your grandbaby was hungry? It sounds like a Lucy story coming up, doesn't it? Yep. I'm setting the stage. So Heather breastfed Lucy, but she pumped a lot because when they would come to visit with Lucy, we wanted to have an opportunity to feed her too, right? And so she would pump out milk. And the older Lucy got, man, the bigger her eyes would get when she saw that bottle coming toward her. They even bought her a little thing of hand. They got a lot of cool baby stuff now we didn't have back in the dark ages. But they had these little handles, and she could reach for those little handles and put that bottle in her mouth. Now she's starting to get onto food like green beans and little carrots and things they're cutting up and giving her off the table. It's incredible to watch the transformation. You forget with your own kids. But the cool thing is you can feed them and give them treats, and you can give them back and don't have to change the diaper, man. This is the best stage ever. And so she's hungering, she's thirsting, she's wanting those things. Without a hunger for the Word of God, you can't know the will of God and you can't grow in the grace of Christ. You will perpetually be a baby believer. And Lucy is cute now, but you know what? She's gone from crawling. They bought her this little walker thing. Now she's kind of up taking steps and walking. It's incredible. And eventually we want her to let go of that little walker, because right now she looks like a 2-foot-tall little old lady. And so we eventually want her to let go of that and be free and walk. But here's the thing. Heather would breastfeed and we would put that milk in the fridge, and I insisted that milk be kept really, really, really separate from my cereal milk and my creamer for my coffee. You know where I'm going with this? Because my baby girl had a baby girl, and I can't think of anything worse. Disgusting, beyond disgusting. It's not disgusting to Lucy, because that's her mama. See, the world looks at us and it says, you Christians are a funny bunch. You really want to go hear the Word of God? You really want to read that old book of myths and fables and fairy tales? You really hunger after that? You really thirst after that? See, they don't get it. It's disgusting to them, because the Bible says in Corinthians that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Moriah, it's where we get the word moronic. It is moronic to those who are perishing. The world is disgusted by the fact that we have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. Just like getting a hold of the wrong milk turns my stomach, thinking about the Word of God turns the stomach of those who do not have the Lord as their Father. See, Lucy loves it because Heather's her mama. And you should love the Word of God and the things of God because He's your daddy. And He is feeding you. That's good. I don't care who you are. He is nourishing you. But have you tasted? Look, if indeed, or the rendering of Greek could be, because you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think Peter's referencing Psalm 34:8 that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Have you tasted the graciousness of God? You say, you know, Bobby, if God would just give me a better car or a promotion or the job that I'm wanting or that relationship, that lady, that guy, if He would give me these friends, if He would just bless me with this ability or that, sure, I would trust God. Listen, your job promotion and your next car are not the greatest displays of God's grace in your life. If you want to see the greatest display of God's grace, I need you to go back with your eyes of faith, and I need you to see an old rugged cross. And I need you to see it there on a hillside outside of the gates of the holy city, Zion, the city of Jerusalem. And I need you to see the Son of God and God the Son, God with skin on, hanging there, bleeding for you. The Son of God who was broken for you. The Son of God who takes all of your sin and all of your shame, past and present and future. And He says, I'll pay the price, Father, that they could never pay. And I need you to see Him being buried in a borrowed tomb. And then I need you to see the ladies and those apostles coming back to finish the burial proceeding, but you need to see the tomb now that is empty, and you need to hear the angel saying, He is not here, for He is risen. He's done exactly what He said He would do. And I need you to see by faith that He's walking and talking and eating among the people, and then He ascends through the clouds back to the right hand of God the Father, where He mediates for you and for me. And I need you to see Him ascended on His throne, because one day the eastern sky is going to break and the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says we will forever be together with the Lord. I need you to see the greatest display of God's grace. It's called the gospel. This is what God has done for me. Do you not think that's better than a pickup truck? Even a lifted one with big mud tires. No, it's better. It's better. It's better than the biggest whitetail you can take down with a bow. It's better. It's better than anything you've ever tasted. It's better. And we need to understand that if we've experienced God's grace, then we should have this desire to live according to God's word. Number two, if you're a part of God's family, then you continue to grow together in Christ. That's what the scripture's teaching in 4-8. Coming to Him, coming to Jesus, because He is our living stone. Yes, He was rejected by men, but He was chosen by God, and He is precious. And you too, Christian, you're living stones. You're being built up into a spiritual house because God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. God dwells in human temples now. The Holy Spirit lives in every man and woman, boy and girl that said yes to Jesus. Those two precious children coming through the waters of baptistry who have said yes to Jesus, they are just as much God's temple as I am or you are. We are a part of the temple of God. Jesus, the living stone, is superior to the Old Testament temple. Jesus, the living stone, is superior to the dead stone idols the Gentiles worshipped before they came to Christ. Believers are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Why is Peter talking about stones so much? Well, that's part of his name, the rock. And Jesus went to his disciples and he said, "Hey, fellas, who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, etc." "Well then, fellows, who do you say that I am?" Who spoke up first? Peter did. What did Peter say? "Oh, Jesus, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You are right, Peter. And Peter, you will be the first pope, and I will build the Roman Catholic Church on you, and upon you, old Peter, I will build the church." Wrong. Jesus, pointing to himself, said, "Oh, I'll tell you how I'm going to build this church. Upon the truth of that declaration, Peter, you pebble, I am the rock, and I will build the church on the declaration that I am the one true and living God. I am the Christ. I am the chosen one of God." And so he's building it up. And so Peter is saying, "Hey, guess what, folks? Jesus is that cornerstone, the chief cornerstone," which I'll explain in a moment, "but you are also living stones. You are a holy priesthood." See, back in the old days, you had to be part of the tribe of Levi to be a priest. Now you just have to be a Christian to be a priest. You just have to come to Jesus. And don't think Catholic priests, long robes, chanting in Latin. A priest, one who goes to God. The priest is to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. This is what verse 5 teaches. What is that? It will offer your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Offer your time, your talent, your treasure. You give not out of obligation, but adoration. You offer practical, loving service to others. At the end of today's service, I'm going to show you a video. I'm going to talk to you about a way to offer spiritual sacrifices. I'm going to talk to you about a way to love Carnes and beyond with the love of Christ. I'm going to talk to you about how to be a priest of God. When you come to Christ, the living stone, you become part of his church. The church is not a place we go. It is who we are. We are being the church. We are called to be living stones together. And so he starts with Isaiah 28, 16, and he talks about the cornerstone. And then he's basically teaching us in 6, 7, and 8, one of two things. Watch, I wrote it like this. You are either built on Christ or you are stumbling over Christ. That's the reality of what Peter is saying. You're either built on this chief cornerstone, Or you are stumbling over him. And he uses Isaiah 28, 16 to talk about this cornerstone, this elect, precious, chief cornerstone that God chose. And if you come to him, you'll never be put to shame. You'll never be embarrassed by making Jesus the focus of your life. But many of us say, what does that mean? What is the cornerstone? Well, I learn better by seeing, so some of y'all probably do too. Let me show you real quick, if I may. Thanks to the Grace Preschool, They let me play with their blocks this week. So, we got some stones in here. I'm going to start with the cornerstone. The cornerstone was the largest and the most important in all of ancient building. If you go with us to the Holy Land, you'll see the temple stones are not left, but underneath the retaining wall, even from the time of Christ, is left. And there are some massive stones, some as long as 45 feet, highly, precisely chiseled, the most important of which, the cornerstone. It sat in the corner of the structure. You had to make sure that the angles were perfect. If you were doing a square or a rectangle, a perfect 90 degrees, because if it's off here, the higher it gets, the wider it gets, the more it's off there. And so you start with the right stone, the most important stone, which, according to some of the religious elitists, they just tossed aside because they didn't think it was important. Because you know what they put in its place? They put tradition. They put man-made rules. They put regulations made by people. But he says, Peter, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And so we start there. And then the Bible says, but we, Christians, are living stones. And so I'm not going to try to build this both ways. I don't have time or blocks. But You think about building something. Now, when it says stone, it's different than a concept of a rock that's just rough, like a round rock. These stones are precisely chiseled and hewn so that they fit together just right. And so you could imagine building something, let's say with modern brick or block, and it's got to fit just right. And so hopefully I can do this the right way. And you think about this idea of being built up. So this is Christ, and it would go both directions, but we, the church, are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says there is no other foundation which will be laid other than that which has already been laid, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just continue to build. We continue to go up. Man, I hope this works. We continue to go higher and higher and higher, and I don't have any kind of glue holding this stuff together, so this reminds me of my Lego days, except without the little bumps and things like that to hold it together. And so you just keep building. And of course, with the cornerstone, you go both directions. Now I want you to think about this. You and I are living stones. Don't move. Okay. So we are living stones. We are being built together. And you can imagine then, the more the church goes all around the world. Don't you love this? Different colors. These are a little different size than this. And when it comes to God's church, there's different color, there's different texture, there's different background, there's different nationality, every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Somehow God is chiseling us to work together. You say, well, I don't believe I belong in any church. Well, listen to me, God will chisel you and make you fit, okay? So he'll find the place for you. I'm not saying it's always grace. If you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, there are plenty of other churches out there. But if you're all right, we're all peculiar, right? And so come on. And so you've got all of these things, but what happens when you're not being built on Christ? What happens when you think, yeah, okay, but I'm going to do my own thing. I don't need other Christians. I don't need the church, because all the church is assembled, gathered, called out believers. That's all it is, not the place. But I don't want to be a part of that. Well, number one, it would create holes, and things get in that shouldn't be in here. So if you're missing, it creates holes. This COVID thing, some of you guys out there, man, you are serious about this quarantining stuff, and I respect that. Some of you have pre-existing conditions, or by age or stage of life, you've decided we are not going anywhere. Everything is being delivered or parachuted in or drone to my house. That's cool. Some of you made that decision, and I would say you need to stay just as long as you are comfortable. Maybe if you decide to get the vaccine down the road, I just pray it doesn't cause a third ear to grow on the back of your head or whatever it is, but you stay as long as you feel led to stay. But for those of you that may be out there playing a little bit, you may be going out to the restaurants and going out to the stores and even going to the entertainment places, but you've said for some reason, I think I can go here, 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 and here, but yeah. I'm not quite ready to go back to church. Shame on you. You need to get right. You are missed. You say, it's not that big of a deal, man. That's a pretty big church. They won't even know I'm gone. Oh, really? I don't know which camera's on me right now. Are you on me? Are you on me right there? And look right here in my eyes. Does that thing know how to zoom? Clean. Now zoom in on this. Because if you think you're not important and you're not missed and you're not loved when you're not here, it only takes one not doing their part. And the whole thing begins to crumble. That was almost perfect again. Look at that. It only takes one to be out of place. The Bible says Christ is the chief cornerstone. You don't have to worry about holding the weight of the world on your shoulders. He will hold us up. But you have a part to play. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4, when every part does its share, when every part's doing what it was designed to do, you don't worry about your shape. God will chisel you to make you fit. When you do your part, God will do his. Otherwise, we'll just be hanging out as a pile of rubble. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you're out there and you're separating and you're truly doing that for your work and your school and other things, God bless you. If you need us, call us. Man, we'll parachute anything you need to your yard. We'll keep you safe and secure. We'll pray for you until you are ready to get back out. But if you are out and about, If you are out there playing, it is time to reengage with your family of faith. Now, I'm not just talking about Grace folks. We got folks watching from essentially every inhabited continent of this planet right now. Wherever is your local body, they miss you and they need you. And I'm asking you to reengage as part of the living stones of your church. You see, what happens is some have rejected Christ. Some stumble over him. Imagine this is our cornerstone. See, for some people, they see Christ and they're able to then step up and build their life on him. But for others, they see Christ and they say, I don't want that authority in my life. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And the Bible says they end up stumbling over him. Don't stumble over him today. The reality is, he wants to not only be your chief cornerstone, he wants to be your chief capstone. He wants to give you a life that you cannot have otherwise without him. Because this is the truth, folks. If you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, then one day you will face him as your judge. One day, every knee will bow. One day, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, the question is, are you going to do it now when you have the opportunity willingly? Or are you going to do it one day when you will be forced and then forever separated from God? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? You see, Peter quotes from Isaiah, then Psalm 118, then back to Isaiah, and he basically says that this rock, this stone, this living stone Jesus, he can either build you up or he can trip you up. Jesus said, there's a light that's coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So I'm going to just ask you, is your life being built on Christ or are you stumbling over Christ? Which is it? Man, I tell you what, trying to figure out how to play with these blocks the other day, and we were taking them out and we were messing around. I said, there's got to be a way for me to build something real quick. I realized in a hurry that this had to be level and this had to be right because these little cardboard blocks won't stay up otherwise. I must have stomped one of them back down into the box. How about your life today? Is he your cornerstone? Is he your living stone? Third truth I want you to see, and we're done. If you've been set apart by God, then you proclaim his praises and you choose to live in his light. If God has chosen you, if he has set you apart as a Christian, see, the Bible says that some folks stumble and are disobedient, but you Christian, you, child of God, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special people. Yeah, you know, we're still refugees in the culture. We'll talk about that next week. We're still passing through. This is not our final home. We're going to the promised land. Yes, we're refugees, but we need to also live as we are called by God. We are royalty. He is our father. We are his adopted children. Now, that doesn't make us spiritual snobs. That gives us a humility that says, while I'm just passing through, my father's in charge. He not only owns the cattle on a thousand hills, friends, he owns the hills. He owns it all. It's all the Lord's. So we are a chosen generation. God has called us out of sin to be a part of his redeemed people. We are a royal priesthood. That means we serve the king. We serve royalty. And as a part of God's family, we are royalty. I want you to jot this truth down if you're taking notes. In Old Testament times, God's people had a priesthood. But now in Christ, God's people are a priesthood. We are directly connected to the king. Think about that. Man, I'm glad we don't have that old system. I don't want you coming to me unloading all your baggage. Now, I'm here to listen, and I'm here to help, and I'm here to shepherd, and I'm here to walk with you. But aren't you glad you don't have to confess sin through any person anymore? You don't have to go to some little booth and talk to some old guy in a robe on the other side of the lattice wall. You don't have to do that. You go to God straight through Jesus Christ, the only mediator that mankind needs. The one who has his hand on God and his hand on us like Job cried out for. Jesus is all we need. So we are a royal priesthood. Every believer has the privilege of coming into God's presence. Every believer is a priest of God. Again, that shouldn't puff you up. That ought to let you be so grateful that you got direct access. We are a holy nation. I already said that doesn't mean America. And there are people watching from Canada and Brazil and India and China, for those that are able, and those are in Australia and all over this world. I know you're looking at what's going on in our country right now, and you're probably shaking your head like the rest of us. I don't know, did any of y'all catch the temper tantrum? I mean, the presidential debate? Did any of y'all catch that? Aren't both men in their 70s acting worse than seven-year-olds? Now, we should respect our current leadership, and we should pray for him and pray for his family, especially in this time. But let me tell you right now, my hope doesn't ride on the wings of donkeys and elephants, man. I'm just here to tell you. My hope is in the Lamb of God, the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And if you're putting all your stock in November, you're going to be disappointed no matter what happens. I guarantee it. Because Washington doesn't have all the answers. Politicians don't have all of the answers. Our hope is in Christ. And I am so grateful to be a part of these United States of America. And I praise God for the men and women who have sacrificed. My own family, my grandfather in World War II, my father in Vietnam, many of my uncles and other family members who have paid the price, some the ultimate price. But I am more excited about being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, because one day even America will crumble, but God's kingdom will have no end. That's the reality of the world in which we live. And if you wrap all of your hope around the stars and stripes, you are going to be disappointed one day. And that is not to belittle the sacrifice of anyone. We praise God for you. We thank God for the land of the free and the home of the brave. But the reality is we still live in a sin-cursed world and a sin-cursed nation, and we are citizens of a greater kingdom. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Ephesians 2:19. You see, look, the Bible says not only are we a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, we are a special people. Anybody ever call you special? Well, he's kind of special. Well, the Greek in the King James is rendered pretty well right, peculiar, a little different. Now, that doesn't mean we should be oddballs or religious weirdos, folks, okay? That doesn't mean that we got to be strange and ugly, but we're going to be strange to those who don't know Jesus. I love the rendering of this. We are a people of God's very own. We are a people who walk with the King. And that doesn't make us boast. That makes us realize we don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't die for the right. But Jesus did. Because of that, those of us who were not a people but now are a people, who didn't have mercy but now have mercy, because of all of this, we are to proclaim God's praises. We are to extol his outstanding qualities and excellencies and virtues. And as believer priest, we live so that the Father's qualities are evident in our lives and through our lives. Why? Because this is a dark world we've been called out of, but we are called to shine the light of Christ for the world to see. You see, the bookends of this text in 1 through 10 are starting with tasting God's grace and ending with experiencing God's mercy. Here's the cool thing. Grace is God giving you what you'll never deserve. God lavishing his love on you such that you could never earn your way to heaven, but God wants you to have it as a gift, and he wants you to have an abundant life before you get there. And then mercy is God withholding from us what we truly do deserve, separation in hell. But God, in this context of grace and mercy, demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, we may still be refugees in the land, but we are also royalty, children of the King. And the Lord is saying through Peter, church, you got to live like it. If you've experienced God's grace, you desire to live according to God's word. If you're part of God's family, you continue to grow in Christ. We're growing together as living stones. If you've been set apart by God, you proclaim his praises. You live in his light. Now, I almost titled this message, The Rolling Stones or The Royal Stones. Do y'all know the Rolling Stones? This is an honest bunch. In the first service, they looked at me like I had two heads. And I'm like, oh, y'all don't know no Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and all of that? And they were like all holy looking at me. And then I started this, and I said, I can't get no, da-da-da. See? And they were heathens, too. They knew the lyric of that song. You can't always get See, I knew it. Heathens everywhere. I knew it. Almost called it Rolling Stones because the old saying goes, the Rolling Stone gathers no moss. That means it's always on the move. Now, don't be the Jagger kind of Rolling Stone, but be a Christian Rolling Stone where you're not satisfied just sitting, gathering dust and moss. Be the Jesus kind of living stone where you're on the move. You go from the milk to the meat. You are taking in the word. You are giving out the word. You are living in the light of Jesus and sharing his praises with a watching world. Be a royal stone. You are a child of the king, man. Act like it. Doesn't matter what you wear on the outside, but how is your heart, street rat? How is your character? How are you doing in the quiet place? They said, I can't get no satisfaction. I couldn't either till I met Jesus. But now I've got everything I need, everything I want. And I realized that one day I'm going to see my Savior face to face, and I'm going to put my hand in the nail-scarred hands of the one who went all the way for me. Have you trusted him? Are you still wandering as a refugee, or are you part of royalty? Are you doing your part in growing together with the family of God? The living stones have to be chiseled and placed by the chief cornerstone. Are you doing your part? Or are you strangely absent? What's it going to be today? I can tell you, for me, I'm glad to be a part of a bigger body and a grander building. Because I know in my own heart, God's still changing me. God's still molding me. And God's still taking me from refugee to royalty. Stand with me. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence. And as I hear the hymn begin, I'm reminded that I've sung I Surrender All countless times in my life. But frequently I have not meant it. And the reality of my own lyric is that I surrender some, but I keep back an awful lot. So if we're going to sing it today, let us be true to the lyric. Let us be true to the spirit of the moment. You are the living stone, the chief cornerstone, a precious and tried stone. We are called to build our lives on you as living stones, rolling stones, royal stones. Yes, that means we've got to be chiseled. We've got to be fit. Can't just go at our own, or we're not going to help the larger building. First, I pray if anybody is here that's never said yes to Jesus and been reborn, born again, if they don't crave the word like a baby craves milk, may this be the day they come. May they take one of my fellow pastors or counselors by the hand and say, I got to nail this down. I just got to get it right. They don't even have to know what to say. Our folks are trained to know how to lead them. Some need to walk back to you, Lord. They have moved. They have walked away. And they need to rekindle this relationship. They've forgotten who they are. They have forgotten that they are a prince or a princess of God. Some need to come and unite with this great church because, Lord, we're excited about what you're doing at Grace. We're excited about the great things happening. Some that may be out there watching today, they know who I'm talking to. They're normally here, but for whatever reason, they've decided to disconnect for a while. Lord, if they're out in true quarantine, may they stay and may they be sure before they get out of that house. But, Lord, if they're going other places, they're doing other things. It's time. It's past time. May they commit to reconnect. God, I pray that you would move us in these final moments together for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.